I am Dr. Nathan Bryan of Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. Today we'll be talking about nitric oxide in asthma and pulmonary disease. Well, it gives me great pleasure today to introduce this topic of nitric oxide in pulmonary medicine, specifically asthma. Nitric oxide's been around for almost 30 years now. In fact, it's now recognized as one of the most important molecules produced in the body of humans. A Nobel Prize was awarded for its discovery back in 1998. Over 160,000 published papers on the biology and biochemistry of nitric oxide. And so it truly is a revolutionary molecule. We've learned a lot over these past 30 years. Number one, that nitric oxide is a signaling molecule. It's how cells in the body communicate with one another. The older we get, and most, if not all, chronic diseases are associated with a loss of nitric oxide production. And in fact, it's the loss of the production of nitric oxide that's responsible for many of the chronic diseases that face Americans today, including but not limited to pulmonary hypertension, a lot of airway diseases, including asthma. In fact, one of the first treatments, FDA-approved treatments using nitric oxide was in pulmonology for the treatment of pulmonary hypertension. Over the past, I guess, probably 15 years, nitric oxide has moved into the realm of asthma, not only from a potential treatment regimen, but primarily for a diagnostic. So in asthma and any inflammatory airway condition, or for that matter, any inflammatory condition, there's usually a nitric oxide component. So the higher the degree of airway inflammation, neutrophils, macrophages infiltrate into the airways, generate a lot of nitric oxide, primarily as a host defense mechanism, kill off invading pathogens such as viruses or bacteria. And in that immune response, you generate a lot of nitric oxide. So measuring exhaled nitric oxide in asthma patients has been shown to be predictive of the severity of the airway inflammation and the asthma. And then you can actually treat accordingly and use the exhaled nitric oxide as how effective the treatment may be. And I think that's caused some confusion in the literature, because one may interpret that as too much nitric oxide as being bad. And in that case, we're looking at, I think it's important to recognize there are two different compartments we're looking at. And the importance of nitric oxide was first recognized in the vascular system. So what we're measuring and detecting in the exhaled air is coming from the airway, extravascular compartment. And the other interesting thing about nitric oxide is that when there's chronic overexpression of nitric oxide from an inducible nitric oxide synthase isoform that's only upregulated by cytokines and inflammation, this actually downregulates the constitutive vascular production of nitric oxide. So what we're finding is that in any chronically inflamed patient, including those with asthma or any chronic inflammatory disease, that they basically become nitric oxide deficient. So the local overproduction of NO, for example, in the airways in asthma, actually leads to a feedback inhibition on the constitutive vascular production of nitric oxide. So symptomatically, these patients are all nitric oxide deficient because of the dysfunctional enzyme nitric oxide synthase, and typically that's due to chronic inflammation, oxidative stress, and the immune dysfunction that occurs in most chronic diseases. So the challenge for us basic scientists as well as physicians is try to understand what is the nitric oxide production capacity in individual patients. What does this mean in terms of their symptomology and basic etiology of their disease? But perhaps most importantly, how do we fix this underlying problem? And so in pulmonology, this has been the mainstay of care for pulmonary hypertension for many decades. So patients with pulmonary hypertension, if you give them inhaled nitric oxide gas, it dilates the smooth muscle of the airways. So it not only leads to bronchodilation, but it also diffuses into the pulmonary arteries and the blood vessels of the lungs and reduces pulmonary pressure. So that's been a very effective treatment strategy. The problem and the limitation of this therapy is that once you turn the nitric oxide gas off, the pulmonary pressures increase again. so this is only useful in an inpatient kind of critical care setting. I think where the science and technology is leading us is to really getting to the root of the problem, fixing the reason that these patients become nitric oxide deficient, whether it's recoupling the nitric oxide synthase enzyme, or if it's giving them some exogenous nitric oxide donors that doesn't have such a short half-life as inhalative nitric oxide therapy. So that's where I see the field going. But again, until we fix the underlying problem and get rid of the root cause of the inflammatory disease, most physiological systems compensate. And one of the compensations is overproduction of nitric oxide in response to the immune function that actually shuts down the constitutive NO that over time is what leads to the difficult management of these patients. So I think for pulmonologists, obviously my objective, and my objective has been for the past really 20 years I've spent in academia, is to educate physicians on the importance of nitric oxide, because most physicians, whether they're primary care physicians or specialists, don't have a full understanding of nitric oxide and how important it is in the management of their patients. So I think if we can begin to create awareness around nitric oxide, develop new diagnostics that can give us an indication of an individual patient's capacity to generate nitric oxide, or in fact there's FDA cleared medical devices out there that can give us an understanding of nitric oxide production, and then start employing strategies to remove the inflammatory insult, but restore the function of these nitric oxide synthase enzymes, and then recapitulate and restore nitric oxide-based signaling, then the human body is remarkable in the fact that it can actually heal itself. So as a physiologist and biochemist, I have a strong belief that the body heals itself provided we give it what it needs. And so my thought is that people get sick for two reasons and two reasons only. Number one, their body is exposed to something that's either inflammatory or toxic, an allergen, an infection, or some chemical toxin that's shutting down some endogenous system. And so we have to recognize what the source of cause of the disease is and remove it. And then the second reason people get sick is that their body's missing something that it needs for normal metabolism. And so most people are deficient. It's known from a lot of nutrient surveys that are deficient in magnesium. Magnesium is a critical cofactor for many enzymes, including the enzyme that makes nitric oxide. And so if you remove the offending agent, give the body the missing nutrients and elements that it needs to optimize physiology and biochemistry, then the body heals itself. And I think that's where we are in medicine, especially in this age of regenerative medicine, giving the body what it needs to actually heal itself, regenerate dysfunctional tissues, and restore the function of individual organs and tissues. And I think that's what's exciting about medicine today. And what makes my job exciting is finding new ways to diagnose nitric oxide deficiency and discovering new ways to restore the production of nitric oxide in the human body. And this has utility that goes beyond pulmonology and cardiology. The human body cannot and will not heal unless you fix the production of nitric oxide. And so I think that's where we are today and where the science is leading us. So I thank you very much for your attention and your interest in nitric oxide.